Good morning. I'm glad that you're here this morning and glad that you've chosen to worship with us today. There are many of our congregation who have been sick, and many of those are back with us. We have others who are out sick, and I'm sure we are keeping them in prayer and hope they'll be back with us. We're glad that you're here. Several are traveling as well. Look around the room if you see somebody missing. I wouldn't hesitate to drop a card in the mail if you don't know where they are. Just make sure they're okay or give them a call. Stop by their house, knock on their door. Regardless of the time, they'll appreciate it, I'm sure. That's what I would do if I were you. No, but make a note of who's not here. Try to encourage them. Maybe there's a need that they have that we might be able to fulfill. We should be looking out for one another. If I wasn't here, I would appreciate hearing from you. Of course, it would be awkward about this time during worship service if I wasn't here, and I might hear from several of you. Several years ago, I lived in Arizona, and I attended a church for a year or two, and I traveled a lot for work. I didn't know anyone well because I was new there, and I don't think they knew I traveled for work, but I missed quite a bit there. I would attend services where I was traveling and never heard a peep from anybody. No one ever asked me about it. No one was curious why I wasn't there or if I needed anything. I placed membership at another congregation for different reasons, and I think the first Sunday I missed, I got a card in the mail from an older lady there, and I appreciated it so much that someone actually knew that I was missing. And I hope if we look out for people who are missing, they appreciate it in the same way, that we're sincere in that. We're not the police trying to make sure that people come to church and check the box, but that we're concerned that they might have a need of us, of this body, as we worship together. So, long story short, I'm glad you're here. Yeah, glad you've chosen to be here. If you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 13. That's where our scripture reading came from, so you may already be there. In Romans chapter 13, and a lot of the book of Romans is very practical teaching that Paul is giving to the Christians in Rome. In Romans chapter 13 specifically, it's extremely practical. It's practical even for us today when he talks about how we should treat the governing authorities. Chapter 13 and verse 1, Paul says, "Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God." He's telling these Christians in Rome that they need to respect the government. Those government officials, the laws that are put into place, they need to understand that those were really put there by God, ultimately. God's the one who has put the powers in place, and as Christians, they and we today should respect those powers. He tells them that they should honor authority, the authority of the government, that they should submit to that authority. He tells them that they should specifically even pay their taxes, that they should pray for those authorities, things that we all surely do today, and I know we talk about from time to time. He makes it very clear that it would be wrong to rebel against that government. As bad as the Roman Empire was and the government that these Christians would live under, it would be sinful to rebel against that government. He tells them that they should be good citizens, again, paying their taxes. In verse 8 of that chapter, he says, "Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another." In verse 9, "Love your neighbor as yourself." And then he explains that one day Christ is going to return. And when Christ comes back, you need to be prepared. He takes the balance of the chapter where we began in verse 11 with our scripture reading, and he says, "Christ is coming back, awaken from sleep." And what Paul is saying in very simple terms is, wake up. Be ready for him to come. Several years ago, Julie and I, living in Arizona, traveled to Tennessee. We were planning to move to Knoxville, Tennessee. And we flew out to see what it was like and get to know people a little better. This is 6 years ago, I think. We got to the airport on a Saturday morning and went through the line with our tickets, got whatever boarding passes we needed. We gave them our luggage. They said, "Well, just go down there, down to the end of the counter and give your luggage to her." And so we did that. We went down there, and the lady we gave our luggage to literally took our bags and threw them on a giant pile of suitcases. And I knew at that point this was not going to be a good trip. Normally, they take your bag and they put it on a little cart and it goes down the little track, you know, or they put it over here with a few that will go on your plane. It was a mountain of suitcases. And it's a huge airport in Phoenix. And probably 1,000 suitcases down there in the luggage area. Julie and I talked about it, thinking there's no way our luggage is going to make it to Nashville, which is where we're flying into. We got to Nashville, I think around 5 or 5:30 that evening. Sure enough, no luggage came off the plane. Sunday morning's the next morning. We need to go to church. We're not dressed for church. Next flight comes in maybe an hour later, and good news is I got my luggage, so we were totally set. Who cares? Just kidding. So we got my luggage, and we waited again. We waited another hour. I think there were two or three more flights. 11:30 flight came in. No luggage of Julie's on the plane. The 12:30 flight came in. Now we're after midnight in Nashville. And we're on Arizona time, so we're feeling okay. 12:30 flight comes in. Julie's bag is on the flight. We have both of our suitcases. Now we get to drive to Knoxville. It's 3.5 or 4 hours driving. You lose an hour because the time zone changes. We got to church Sunday morning, literally having between us, I think, about 3 hours of sleep total. If we added it up. We walked into the church building. They knew we were coming because we were coming for a visit, and we talked to a couple people, and the preacher said, "Well, did you have a good trip?" I said, "Well, honestly, we didn't." And I said, "Man, we probably got, you know, an hour and a half each of sleep. We lost, told the whole story. I won't tell you again." And he said, "Well, don't take this morning's sermon personally. This isn't about you, I promise." And he laughed. When he got up to preach, the title of his sermon was this: "Wake Up." We were exhausted, and there was a picture on the screen of a guy nodding off in church. We all know what it's like to be tired. I know what it's like to be tired. I even know what you clearly know. I've seen it many times. I know what it's like to be tired sitting in a pew listening to a sermon. We know what it's like to be tired in church. We know what it's like to be tired in our lives, to fall asleep where you just can't keep your eyes open. And what Paul says here in verse 11, as he begins this, is awaken from sleep. He says, "Wake up." Because just like there is this physical tiredness that we get, this physical sleepiness or this grogginess that we might have, there is a spiritual sleepiness that we can have as well. We can fall asleep spiritually. And that's what Paul is addressing. We can become groggy in our spiritual lives and in our faith. And we should ask ourselves this morning, faithfully speaking, are we wide awake? Are we tired? Are we exhausted? Are we just a little groggy, or have we fallen asleep completely, spiritually speaking? Paul says in this text that we'll go through this morning, beginning in verse 11, he tells them to wake up. And after that, he tells them, believe it or not, get dressed. And then he says, get ready for the day. And let's look at it together. He begins in verse 11, telling them to wake up. Let's read it together again. He says, "Do this, knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed." Paul is commanding them. He says, do this. Do what I'm about to tell you. Knowing this, knowing that it is time for you to wake up, knowing that Christ's coming, his return, is closer than it was the day that we believed. Time has passed. We're only growing closer to his second coming or to our lives ending on this earth. And so he tells them, wake up. Stop sleeping. Stop being complacent in your faith. Stop letting the world around you cloud your vision or anything get between you and God. Open your eyes. Open them wide. Be alert. Verse 12, he tells them the night is almost gone. And what Paul is referencing when he talks about the night is this world that is around us. The darkness that these Christians lived in. The physical life that all Christians are forced to live in for this time is the darkness, is the night that he talks about. And he tells them that that night is almost gone. And the Christians here, they live in a very dark world. They've just been told to submit to their authorities, to submit to the government, and they live under one of the worst governments in the history of man, certainly toward Christians. It would just be a couple of years until Nero would begin burning the Christians at the stake. When he would feed the Christians to the lions, Paul's told them, I need you to submit to that authority because this darkness is almost gone. Don't forget that you're a Christian. He's encouraging them to remember what they signed up for and to keep that in the forefront of their mind, even as difficult as it may have been. Don't get lulled into thinking that the darkness of this world is just the way that it's going to be. Keep your focus on living like a Christian. And just like them, we need to be always ready, always alert, always looking out for Christ's return. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 2, a verse that we know, Paul says, "For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night." We know that the day of the Lord will come. We know that Christ is going to return, and we know that no one knows when that's going to happen. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus said, "But of that day or hour, no one knows." Are you ready for that day to come as we sing the song? Are we spiritually ready for that day? Are we ready for that moment in time when we hear that thunder, that trumpet sound, when Christ comes down from heaven, when he calls his own back to him? I want to be ready for that day to come. I want you to be ready for that day to come. That's what we signed up for. I want to go to heaven. I want to be awake when that happens. I don't want to be falling asleep. And we usually use those passages about that coming, and we try to motivate someone maybe who hasn't put Christ on in baptism, and we say, "You're not guaranteed tomorrow. Make the decision now." We use those passages and we motivate someone maybe to repent of sin in their life. Get your life right. Christ could come at any moment. You're not guaranteed your last breath. But Paul uses them a little different here in Romans chapter 13. He uses those passages to stay motivated, to tell them, don't lose what you had. Remember how excited you were about this gospel message when you first received it. Have you fallen asleep? Wake up. Come out of that. Don't grow weary. Don't grow sleepy. Don't grow tired. Act like a Christian. Act like you expect Christ to return at any moment, because when he does, this darkness that is all around you, as bad as it may be, will be put away. Don't even begin, he says, basically, to believe that this life, as dark as it is just the way it is. And I ask you this morning, would we act any differently if we knew for a fact that Christ would return tonight? If you knew that when you went home and you went to bed tonight, before you woke up in the morning, Christ would return, what would the rest of your day look like? Would it be different than what you've planned already? What would your afternoon look like today if you knew that Christ would come tonight? What would your evening look like tonight? Where would you be? Who would you be talking to? What would you be praying about? What kind of things would you do today if you knew he would return? Would you be busier than you plan to be today? I probably would be. I imagine you would be as well. Paul tells us and them, don't forget that he is absolutely coming back. Wake up. Don't fall asleep. Don't become lazy in your faith. And then he tells them, get dressed. Look at verse 12. That night, the night is almost gone, and the day is near, therefore let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. Paul says, now that you are awake, clean yourself up. Now that you're out of bed, now that your eyes are open, now that you've come out of that slumber, get dressed. Put away all of the deeds of darkness, as his text tells us. Put down all of those worldly deeds that have brought you down, those deeds of darkness that make you feel at home in the dark. Whatever it is that you've taken on that makes you feel comfortable in this darkness that's around you, he says, set that aside. Take it off. He lists this list of carousing and drunkenness and sexual promiscuity. He talks about sensuality and strife and jealousy. He says, lay those things aside. Put those things down and put something different on. Get dressed, is what he's saying. Change the way you're living. Get dressed and ready for the day. He tells them to put on the armor of lights. And I have many memories as a child and into my teenage years of my mother waking me up. Many days she would come into my room and wake me up in the morning, elementary school, junior high, high school, any time that I overslept or she decided I needed to get up early. And I'll be honest with you, none of those memories are pleasant memories. She would come in my room singing in full voice, and very often, in fact, every single time, she would turn on all the lights in the room as bright as they go. And it is difficult to sleep or even to be sleepy when you are surrounded by lights. Now, today I can sleep in any circumstance. I could fall asleep here. I have two young children, and so I'm tired all of the time. But as a kid, I couldn't stand it because those lights would come on and I would immediately be wide awake. Paul says something very similar in Ephesians chapter 5, In verse 11 there, he says, "Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them." How do we expose them? We expose them with the light. "For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret, but all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says," listen to how similar this is, "for this reason it says, 'Awake, sleeper, wake up, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.'" Paul says, get dressed for the day, get prepared for what is about to come. He tells them in the last verse, verse 14, "Put on the Lord Jesus Christ." Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27, "For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself in Christ." Paul says, put Christ on. Put on the armor of lights. And when we do, we should begin to look like Christ. Romans chapter 8 in verse 29, Paul says that we become conformed to his image. We take on the likeness of Christ. We live in Christ and Christ lives in us. And if we live that way, our life should also be consistent with the truth. If we put on the armor of light, if we put on Christ himself, if we set aside all of that darkness, then we will be living in the truth, which is exactly where we want to be. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, "If you walk in the light as he himself is in the light, you have fellowship with one another." If you walk like Jesus walks, if you live like Jesus lives, we want to live consistent with God's word and consistent with the truth. If we wake up from our sleep, if we step out of that darkness, if we step out of the world that is around us, verse 14, if we put on Christ, if we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, if we put on Christ, putting on the light of Christ, if we put on the armor of lights in verse 12, maybe we're better prepared to reach that goal of salvation. That's what we're all striving for. Maybe if we put all of that on, setting everything aside, all the deeds of darkness aside, maybe we are then shielded by that shield of lights from the temptation and sin that is in the world around us. Maybe we're better prepared for those moments when those moments come. Maybe if we are clothed in Christ, the world around us can look at us and see Christ. That's certainly what we want. Paul is saying, get ready. He's saying salvation is coming. And as pertinent as it was to those Roman Christians, you and I need to live in exactly the same way today. We need to consider what the deeds of darkness are in our lives, the things that hold us back from God, the things that weigh us down from serving God, the things that make us groggy and make us sleepy and cloud our vision. What are the things that have made us comfortable with the darkness that surrounds us? The things that have made us comfortable with the world around us. It's easy to become drowsy in our faith and to begin to think that maybe this is just the way things are. I live in a difficult world. Maybe it's okay to act like that because, you know, we're surrounded by it. I'm still a good person. Can you think back to a time when maybe you thought, that language makes me uncomfortable. I don't like to hear language like that. I don't like to say words like that, but maybe now I'm kind of okay with it. Maybe we used to think, you know, I just don't want to miss services. I don't want to miss worship. I like being with my brothers and sisters in Christ, but maybe now we become okay with it. Maybe we become sleepy in our faith. Maybe we've become groggy. Maybe we say to ourselves, I have a busy life. I've got a lot going on. But Paul says very clearly, wake up. Set those things aside. Whatever it is that gets between you and God, put it aside. Put on the armor of lights. Put on Christ himself. We need to ask ourselves, are we willing to do that? Are we willing to lay those things aside? Whatever it is that gets between us and God, whatever it is that we have held on to and that prevents us from stepping out of that world of darkness and letting Christ reign in our lives, what are those things that cause us to be sleepy, that cloud our vision, that make us look at the world around us and think, well, this is just the way it is. We need to be willing as Christians to wake up, to lay those things aside, to boldly put on Christ, to clothe ourselves in the armor of light, knowing that salvation is nearer today than it was when we first believed. Time has passed. We're not farther away from the end. We're closer than we were. And as Christians, we've made it this far, and I think what Paul is saying is don't give up now. Stay strong. Stay focused on Christ. And then finally, what he says is to live right. In verse 13, the very beginning there, he says, "Let us behave properly as in the day." Paul says, don't just live like the world around us lives. Instead, live right. Don't just live like everyone around you lives. Instead, live like a Christian should live. He says, behave properly as in the day. And a lot of bad things happen at night, and we're almost expectant that bad things would happen at night. If your car got stolen out of your driveway, you might tell me that story, and I might think, wow, that's amazing. I'm sorry that happened to you. And you could say, no, you don't, it's even worse. It was stolen in broad daylight. We say, wow, in the daytime? You almost expect bad things to happen at night, but certainly not in the day when everything is exposed. It's less likely that those things would happen. Paul is saying, act as if you are surrounded by light. Act as if everything you do is exposed to the world around you and to God. There's no backdoor deals in Christianity. Everything we do should be seen by the world around us. Everything we do is certainly seen by God. He's saying to them, I know you have it bad in Rome. I know the way that the Roman Empire is going to treat Christians if they haven't already started is unfair and it's immoral and there's no way to justify it. It's simply not right. But keep acting like a Christian. Be exposed by the light as a Christian should be exposed. Let everything you do be visible. Again, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, walk in the light. Be exposed. There's no secrecy. Clothe yourselves in Christ. Galatians chapter 3. We need to live every day like we are seen and on display as Christians. Not taking any pride in that, but just knowing that the world should look upon us as the light of the world. Maybe even live as if we are surrounded by other Christians. Which makes sense, doesn't it? We are the body of Christ individually. We are members of the body of Christ. Do we act and live differently outside of this building than we do within? Do we speak differently when we leave these walls and go out into the world than we do in this building? Do we think about people and treat people differently outside of this building than we do inside? And I'm not talking about just the simple stuff. I don't dress like this every day. I act differently when I'm here. My kids aren't forced to sit still for an hour every morning as they are in church. We know we act differently when we're here, but how do we treat people outside of this building? Do we treat them differently than we treat each other inside? Do we talk differently? Do we act differently? Do we think differently about the world around us than we do about our brothers and sisters in Christ? We need to live as if Christ were going to return today, or tonight, or tomorrow, or before our next breath. We need to live as if Christ could come at any time, not just fearing that we would be unprepared. Not just fearing the negative consequence of being unprepared when he comes, but living like a Christian, being encouraged that we know that he will come. And when he does, this darkness that surrounds us, just like those Roman Christians, all of the darkness that we have to put up with while we're here on this earth will be put away. We need to live as Christians, not embracing that darkness, not giving into that darkness, not being clouded or dragged down by that darkness, but anxious for it to be removed, because that's what's going to take place. We need to keep at the forefront of our minds the fact that Christ will return, and when he returns, all of that will be put away, and that return will come. It is closer, I should say, than it was when we first believed. And that, again, means that we live like Christians should live. It means that we live like Christ. In the Romans example, in this chapter, this context, it means that they submit to civil authorities. That certainly applies to us. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said that we are the light of the world. And that certainly applies to us. Now, we need to be the hands and the feet and the heart of Jesus in this world today because we are the body of Christ. We need to get out of our beds. We need to open our eyes wide. We need to change our clothes into that armor of lights and clothing ourselves with Christ. We need to turn every light on in the house, and we need to be absolutely ready for that moment when he comes. If you haven't put Christ on in baptism, we'd encourage you to do that this morning. If you haven't put Christ on in baptism, you have not been added to his church. If you believe God's word and are willing to repent of sin in your life and confess the name of Jesus before men, the Bible teaches that you can go down into those waters of baptism and have your sins washed away. When you do that, you become a member of his body. You become a child of God. You become a light to the world. If you haven't done that, again, we'd encourage you to do that. If you have been baptized, maybe you have sin in your life. Maybe you have even fallen asleep completely in your faith, spiritually speaking. If you have fallen asleep and you have that sin in your life, maybe it's significant enough that you need to repent of that sin publicly. And if that's the case, we'd encourage you to do that this morning. Maybe you just have struggles in your life. Maybe you have been clouded by the world around us. Maybe you have forgotten the great promises of God that Christ will return. And when he does, all of this will be put aside. You need the encouragement of this congregation. If that's the case, let us pray for you. Whatever your need might be this morning, we hope you'll make it known. Come forward now while we stand and while we sing this invitation song.